Thank you. Please be seated. If you would turn, please, in your Bibles to Luke chapter 20. Our text today is Luke 20 and verses 41 through 44. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "How is it they say the Christ is the son of David? David himself declares in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' David calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we love your word. We love you. And Lord, we long to know you better. And Lord, that comes through your word, through the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray today that you would anoint my lips with grace, my tongue with truth, and that the people that you have brought to your house today would hear your voice, and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. One of the shouts that resounded throughout Jerusalem a couple of days before this incident in our text, a shout that reverberated from the Mount of Olives to the temple, was Hosanna to the Son of David. In fact, in Matthew's account, it tells us that when Jesus entered the temple precincts, that the children were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The chief priests and the teachers of the law knew exactly what that meant, and they were indignant. They said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Don't you know what they're saying? Don't you understand what they're saying?" These leaders and religious leaders of the Jews knew exactly what that meant. And now, a few days later, after many questions back and forth, instigated by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, and so forth, now Jesus asks the question. Now Jesus asks a question about the son of David. Whose son is the Christ? Is the son of David the Messiah? You see, what's veiled in that is, are these shouts of the people true? Is Jesus Christ Messiah? Is he the son of David? Is Messiah the son of God? Weighty questions, all wrapped up in these questions that Jesus asked. Who is Messiah? Is he son of David? Is he son of God? Is he both God and man? You know, the church answered that question a little over 400 years later, 451 at the Council of Chalcedon. But every person has to answer that question themselves. Now, the thing about Jesus' question that is somewhat striking, I think, Jesus' question does not go to some hypothetical situation like the question of the Sadducees that we looked at last week. It's not a hot potato political question like that posed by the Pharisees before that. No, Jesus' question comes right from the Scripture. Like a question you might ask your Sunday school teacher or your pastor. Jesus draws his question right from Psalm 110. Jesus said David wrote this psalm. You can find plenty of liberal commentators and pastors who deny that David wrote the psalm. Jesus said the psalm was about Messiah. You can find that same number of liberals who deny that it is messianic at all. In fact, many of these folks like to believe that they can look into the subconscious mind of Jesus and affirm that Jesus was never really conscious of being the Messiah, that he never really actually said that he was Messiah. It's quite impossible to look into the subconsciousness of another person, especially one from 2,000 years ago. But we can know what Jesus is thinking by his words. We can know by what he says. And those words put this same question in front of every person. Now, if you think about it, this question really addresses the question that began this chapter several weeks back. This chapter began with Jesus clearing the temple. He came in and he drove out the money changers. He drove out those who were selling animals for sacrifice, those who had turned his house into a house of merchandise. And after he did that, do you remember the question? The question they asked him, the question that the chief priest and the teachers of the law asked him, by what authority are you doing this? And who gave you this authority? All right, here it is. All the things, all the questions that we have seen that were really sparked by that incident, Jesus really pushed them over the line in that, and they have descended on him with all their attempts to trap him and trick him and make him look foolish. And now Jesus asked them a question. He turns the tables and says, I have a question for you. And what's the answer? Silence. Crickets. You could hear a pin drop. And their silence is revealing. Their silence reveals that they have a confused conception about who Messiah really is, what he really is. Oh, they're looking for the political savior. They're looking for the one who's going to come and deliver them. They're looking for the mighty divine warrior who is to come and free them from their enemies. But they don't really have a grasp on that because they can't answer this simple question. Question from Scripture. They're looking for something that's not there. They don't recognize Jesus Christ. They don't recognize him as Messiah. They are indignant at the words of the crowd and the children. Do you remember what else Jesus said? He said, if they are quiet, the very stones will cry out. This is God's anointed one. They can't see that because he doesn't fit what they want Messiah to be. Yes, he is descended from David, but he's more than just a kingly descendant from David. He is David's Lord. He is descended from David, but the son of David is also before David. Now you know, we must note, and I'm sure you remember, that throughout Jesus' ministry, he resisted all the attempts by the crowd to make him king. He resisted all their efforts to proclaim him as Messiah and king up until the time of the triumphal entry. He accepts their praise that day. He accepts their designation of him as the king of Israel, as the son of David. But throughout his ministry, he resisted all those attempts because because they had a misconception about who he was and what he was going to do. These people had been taught by the religious leaders who Messiah was and what he was going to do when he came. And so Jesus resisted all those efforts. You know, when he was standing before Pilate, Pilate says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "Is that your own idea, or did someone tell you about me?" Jesus could not deny being the king of the Jews, but Pilate's idea of what that was and the religious leader's idea of what that was had nothing to do with Jesus' office and his work. He came truly as the king of the Jews, as king of kings and lord of lords, but not in the way that they saw him. They looked for this leader who's going to come and restore their fortunes and restore the prestige of Israel and consequently restore them to their rightful place. And on Pilate's side, if he thought any of that was going to go on, the Romans would certainly put this down as they had put down other rebellions. So there's this confusion among civic leaders, religious leaders, among the people, what Messiah is and what he's going to do and what his mission and purpose is. So Jesus highlights this as he raises this question. And little as you think about it, this question really answers in a very profound way the questions that had been posed to Jesus that we've looked at over the last several weeks. If he is descended from David, if he is the son of David, but he is also David's Lord. If Messiah who comes, they're still looking for Messiah. They were looking for him then. But if Messiah comes 1,000 years after David has died, and yet he's David's Lord, what does that mean? It means he was before David. Remember when Jesus said to them, "Before Abraham was born, I am"? They understood that perfectly. They picked up stones to stone him. He claimed to be God. So if your concerns are these political issues, who has authority, if your concerns are about the resurrection, that great unknown that lies beyond death, but if this one who has come, if this one who has come as the son of David, as Messiah, is indeed the Lord, if his dominion is an everlasting dominion, doesn't that really answer your questions about who's in authority, about who you can trust, about what's to come, about who can inform you about what lies beyond the resurrection, that there is a resurrection, all these questions that we've looked at? Jesus says that the answer to those is right here. The answer to those is here. And he points out something to them, something that should correct their messianic expectations. First, from the Old Testament scripture. He goes right to the Old Testament. He goes right to the scriptures, right to the prophecies about Messiah. And secondly, that he himself is the fulfillment of those prophecies. He is the one descended from David who is Lord. You know, what Jesus says here is that this Messiah, the son of David, and he didn't correct the people. I have to keep reminding you, but as they proclaimed that as he rode into town, Jesus never corrected them. He did not correct Pilate. He said, "You're right, I am the king of the Jews." But their conception of what that meant may have been wrong. But Jesus here says that there is this thing about Messiah, this thing about the one you're looking for that you don't quite understand. He's not what you expect. He is the fulfillment of these prophecies. These prophecies have been handed down for centuries. This prophecy by David over 1,000 years ago. He is that. And Jesus says something else. He says this one who is to come, this one who is to come is himself seated at the right hand of the Lord, but he also bears the name Lord. How can that be? How is that? These are very theocentric people. They are the chosen people of God. They spend their time in the scriptures. They're looking to understand what God says. How is it that that is true? And you know, I think that's probably important today for a lot of folk, because a lot of people believe in Jesus. A lot of people believe that Jesus is God. But there's this little undercurrent of subordinationism in many folk, that even though Jesus is God, he maybe in some infinitesimal way, he's a little bit less than God, because this very metaphor, he's seated at the right hand of God. I mean, what does that conjure up in your mind? This picture that, well, God's here and Jesus here. Yes, that's a position of authority and power, but he's not here. He's over here. You see what I'm saying? And the scriptures, too. God says in Isaiah 42:8, I will not give my glory to another. And probably one of the most theocentric passages in all the Old Testament, Isaiah 45:22 and 23, God says, I am God, there is no other. Before me, every knee will bow, by me, every tongue will swear. There is one God, and he will not share his glory with anyone else. But recall the words of Holy Scripture we read just a little bit earlier. Therefore, God exalted him, that is Jesus. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's a great mystery, but it's the truth of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. There is none other. You know, that passage by Paul that we just quoted and we read earlier was written many years after this incident took place. But Jesus encapsulated that in this quotation that he gave from Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. That is an active verb. God is going to do this. He's going to exalt him to the highest place. And every tongue will confess. Every knee will bow before Jesus Christ. That's the truth. This is a profound thing for many people. They really don't understand this. And unfortunately, these people to whom Jesus addressed this is the climax of all Jesus' interactions with these people, other than his trial, which was very limited interaction because he didn't speak hardly. This is the climax of all the back and forth between Jesus and these religious leaders who hated him so much. This is it. This is the end. And they have nothing to say. Jesus presents this one last and final time to them. And they prove by their silence that they reject this definition, this understanding of Messiah. Now, you're not looking for Messiah today. You're not looking for someone to come, a great military leader, to free our country from enslavement to some foreign nation. You don't need that. That's not your expectation. But you do need someone to free you from your sin. You do need someone to free you from bondage to sin and death and hell. You do need someone to come and pay the redemption price for your soul. You need someone to come and bear your punishment that you deserve for violating God's law. You need someone to come who can deliver you from the wrath of God that so rightly rests upon sinners. You need a Savior. You need to cry out like these people thousands of years ago, Hosanna. The word means save. Save me, Son of David. Save me, Lord. Save me, King Jesus. That's what we need. It's what every person needs. His name is Jesus. And I believe that probably just about everybody here today knows that. I believe that most everybody here today believes in Jesus. But I would remind you, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, the chief priests, the leaders of the people, they believed in Messiah. They believed what the Bible said about Messiah. They believed he was coming. It was just a Messiah of their own conception that they were looking for. It was a Messiah of their own invention. And beloved, I fear that many people today believe in Jesus. They're trusting in Jesus. It's a Jesus of their own invention. It's a Jesus of their own conception. A Jesus that fits the things that they need. It's not the Jesus of Scripture. It's not Messiah. It's not Son of David, who is also David's Lord. It's a Jesus who fills their wishes and gives them riches and health and favors. That's the Jesus they're looking for. He's not the Jesus of Scripture at all. I think that's a terrible, terrible thing. Because these people that we are so quick to condemn here in the Scripture, these were religious people, devout people. They probably knew most of the Old Testament by heart. But they had changed and shifted and redone the understanding of it to fit what they wanted, what they needed, what they believed Messiah should look like. And so many people today have done that with Jesus Christ. They believe in Jesus, all right. It just doesn't happen to be the Jesus that the Scripture presents. The sad truth is that as Jesus asked this question, those people could not answer. They could not respond. They couldn't say the truth because the truth wasn't what they had come to believe. And so many people today can't face the truth about Christ because it's not what they've come to believe about Jesus Christ. My prayer today for every person who hears this is that you would be able to answer that question. Who is Jesus Christ? He is Lord of all. And the question you have to answer, is he your Lord? Not your servant. Not your imaginary superhero. Is he Lord of your life? Is he Messiah? Is he Savior? Is he more than just a little baby in the manger at Christmas time? Is he more than a man who died a martyr's death on a Roman cross? He is all those things. But he is also the one before whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. He is the Lord God Almighty. Now, where does your conception of Christ fit in that? And is he your Lord? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord of all, King of kings. Lord, and in all that, he was made like us in every way except for sin, fully God and fully man. As we confessed earlier, that he might indeed be that for us, be the perfect sacrifice, perfect man without sin, the perfect Lamb of God who takes away our sin. And yet, he is God himself. Lord, it's beyond our comprehension, but Lord, we believe. Lord, help our unbelief, we pray. Lord, strengthen our faith. Lord, help us as your people. And Lord, if there are any who hear, who have in their mind, in their heart, constructed a Christ, a Jesus, a Savior, who is not the Jesus of Scripture, Lord, open their eyes that they may see. Lord, give them new hearts that they might believe and be saved. We ask all these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.